Welcome to this edition of Shanghai Live. I'm He Jian.
I'm Mei Xin Jiulobei. Shanghai lawmakers attending this year's National People's Congress in Beijing returned to the city last night. Tang Xiaofan has more.
Deputies arrived at Hongqiao International Airport at 8 p.m. yesterday and took a shuttle bus to Shanghai Exhibition Center, where their two sessions journey started.
We were very excited. This was my first time to serve as a deputy of the National People's Congress. Everything was new to me.
The two sessions lasted 8.5 days, during which I truly grasped the essence of whole process people's democracy and the spirit of putting people first.
The Shanghai delegation attending this year's two sessions submitted 13 bills that focused on economic development, urban construction, opening up, social governance, democracy, and the rule of law. The delegation also submitted 117 suggestions on the economy, social issues, culture, and ecological protection.
For educators, our task is to explore ways to advance the educational modernization with Chinese characteristics. We should work to improve the overall quality of talent cultivation.
We will make every effort to allow scientific and technological innovations to flourish and provide more support to promote high-quality development of the chemical industry.
Deputies also called for advancing reform and opening up, as well as improving residents' livelihoods. Tang Xiaofan, Shanghai Live.
A dramatic bank collapse in the United States Friday morning capped a stunning 40 hours in which Silicon Valley Bank suffered a run on its deposits, followed by a capital crisis. California regulators immediately closed down the tech lender and put its accounts under the control of the U.S. Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. Our reporter Zhang Shixuan tracks the reasons behind the failure and looks at some potential market impacts.
For the past 4 days, the financial world has been focused on the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank, one of the 20 largest banks in the U.S. The U.S. Federal Reserve's fastest rate hiking cycle in 4 decades has been a scourge to the banks, triggering a plunge in their bond value. The U.S. total bond index lost 13% last year.
Since last March, the U.S. Federal Reserve has undertaken 8 interest rate hikes in a row to stem inflation, bringing the country's headline interest rate to between 4.5 and 4.75%. While that high level has raised worldwide concerns, it has failed to stem American inflations, and few expected to have this dramatic an impact, the collapse of some of the weakest members of the U.S. banking system, tech-centric banks.
The tech sector is just the most sensitive to the tech interest rates among all the different sectors. You see the Nasdaq index, which is all the tech companies, are most sensitive to the U.S. Treasury yield. So when the pandemic, in the pandemic period in the past 2 years, the Federal Reserve cutting the interest rate to zero and putting lots of bond purchases and the stimulus into the economy. And when the inflation is rise, they still cutting the interest rate, they still putting the interest rate at zero range, and also the large size of the stimulus is still there.
Just 2 days after authorities shuttered SVB, New York-based Signature Bank became the next casualty of banking turmoil, again stemming in part from the Fed's aggressive rate hikes.
Fallout from the bank failures has raised concern about overall leverage in the country's financial system. At the end of last year, U.S. banks were sitting on $620 billion of unrealized losses.
The Federal Reserve, the Treasury Department, and the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation have all announced they will safeguard depositors at Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank with a $100 billion U.S. dollar deposit insurance fund. But the real worry is if there's more to come, will that be able to cover all the losses?
Now the big issue is whether this is the SVB's single case or it's there will be other regional banks face the similar issue. I think that is the questions not many people really aware. The different banks, although they have a different situation, different backgrounds, some banks, I mean, their stocks is falling recently in the U.S., but it seems like their portfolio is more diversified compared to SVB. So I think the Fed is really in a very difficult situation at this moment. This is not very good thing for the market because it raised the policy uncertainties.
While global investment banks and asset managers were expecting another rate hike this month, following this round of turmoil, some including Goldman Sachs believe the Fed will have to back off its anti-inflation plans. The next meeting at which the Fed might have a rate adjustment is just about a week ahead.
If the Federal Reserve paused to raise the interest rate, I think the one very key area is now the inflation in the U.S. is still very high. Even they pause, probably if the crisis is solved, probably there will be still more voices calling for Federal Reserve to continue raise the interest rate. So the environment and the inflation picture will be more complicated. It's also involved with the Fed credibilities. So they always mention that they will continue to act to what they can do to curb the inflation toward their 2% target.
Following the SVB collapse, four of the U.S.'s biggest banks lost a combined $55 billion U.S. in market value in a single day. Bank stocks have continued to dive, and the banking turmoil and resulting uncertainty have spread concern to markets in Europe and Japan, where the TOPIX Banks Index fell as much as 7.4% today. Zhang Shixuan, Money Talks.
China today expressed its strong opposition to an agreement between Australia, the United Kingdom, and the United States to construct a new fleet of nuclear-powered submarines, saying the plan disregards the concerns of the international community and poses risks for nuclear proliferation. Tang Xiaofan has more.
U.S. President Joe Biden announced a major plan for nuclear submarine cooperation in San Diego, along with Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese and British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak. Under the AUKUS deal announced in 2021, the United States and the United Kingdom agreed to provide Australia with the technology and capability to build nuclear-powered submarines. Australia is buying three, possibly up to five, Virginia-class boats as part of the deal. Under the AUKUS partnership, a future generation of submarines will be built in Britain and in Australia with U.S. technology and support. Biden emphasized the ships will not carry nuclear weapons of any kind. Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesperson Wang Wenbin said at a regular briefing that the nuclear submarines plan is a typical Cold War mentality and will only help to motivate an arms race.
The nuclear submarine cooperation between the United States, the United Kingdom and Australia involves nuclear weapon states, and the transfer of large quantities of highly enriched uranium to non-nuclear weapon states, posing a serious risk of nuclear proliferation and violating the object and purpose of the Treaty on the Non-Proliferation of Nuclear Weapons. The three countries claim that they will abide by the highest nuclear non-proliferation standards, which is pure deception.
Wang said China urges the three countries to listen to the calls of the international community and the countries in the region, and refrain from doing things that undermine world peace and stability. Tang Xiaofan, Shanghai Live.